Hey, welcome again. If you're new to our church, once again, I'm just glad you guys are here. We are worshiping together in person. Please make sure to stay afterwards. There is going to be some snow cones outside. Yes, you heard it right, snow cones. I'm going to guess you guys are smiling, but it's hard to tell under the mask, but snow cones. But please make your way outside, and we love to fellowship with you guys. You know, we've been going through the series, It's On My Heart, and the reason we titled it that is because we invited just guest speakers from this area to speak what's on their heart. And so you would just say, hey, whatever God is doing in your church, what's on your heart, please come and share that with us, because we aren't the only church. We need to hear from other pastors, other churches, and we would love to see how God is working. And today, what I want to do is I want to introduce our guest speaker, and I'm actually going to read our passage afterwards and then invite him up. And so it's going to be a little bit different, but our guest speaker, his name is Derek Huang, and he is the lead pastor and the founder of Disciple Community Church in Bellevue. And just a little bit about him, he actually used to be our youth pastor at Next. It used to be called Dive many years ago, and I'm sure he's going to share a little bit about that. And we're just so thankful that he's here today just sharing God's word. He's one of the most gifted preachers that I know and storyteller, and I just have a lot of fond memories. And some of you guys might actually have grown up and been a part of his youth group many years ago. But what I want to do is I'm just going to read our passage, and then I'll invite him up. Our passage today comes from Genesis 32, 22 to 31. And if you are able to, let's rise to our feet. I'm going to read from the ESV version. Those of you guys online, if you can rise to your feet just to honor God's word as well. That's Genesis 32, 22 to 31. And it says, the same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of the joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. This is the word of the Lord. All right, you guys can be seated. Let's welcome up Pastor Derek Huang.
Well, hello there. My name's Derek. I don't know if you guys know me, but I served at this church. I grew up at this church for a long time. I remember when I left this church, it was the 40th anniversary, and I realized I was here for 30 years of the 40 years this church existed. And so I've been here a long time. It's really good to see some of your faces that I've known for a long time. Some people, I went through, I was walking by and I thought it was this person named Angela, and it wasn't, because the mask, I was like, that totally looks like her, but then, and then later I found her. It's really good to be with you guys. I always think like the day that believers get together and worship God is the best day of the week, by far. It's awesome when church people, like God's people, come together and we are the church together. And so, just to tell you a little bit about myself, my family started attending Hyeongjae before this, before the name New Life ever, began. It was just called Hyeongjae EM, like such an awesome name, Hyeongjae EM. And I started attending Hyeongjae when I was 6 years old, 1980. Some of you guys are like, "Oh man, that's 20 years before I was born," right? 1980, I accepted Jesus Christ at this church. I was really involved in the youth group, really involved in the college ministry. I went to seminary. I left the church, went to seminary in the East Coast at Princeton for 3 years. Immediately came back and became the youth pastor of the church for 12 years. You know, I was a little sad that they changed the name to Next, but we you know, started Dive at 1999, and for 12 years, it was one of the best years of my life, just serving the youth. A lot of crazy things we did. I took like 25 kids every year to China for like almost a whole month. I still can't believe parents let me, you know, and it was just awesome time. But during the time I was a youth pastor is where I grew my passion for ministry, you know, and I grew a passion for godly community and for discipleship, And so when I came into the church and I met, my former youth student, Pastor Clara. You know, I walked in and she was showing me around and I just had to stop because I saw your mission statement, right? Your mission statement. And I took a picture of it because, I didn't want to forget. And so the mission statement says, "We are a Christ-centered community that expands the kingdom of God by making disciples." And so whenever I see a godly community making disciples, being disciples, I get so excited. That's been my passion for so many years. And so when I saw that, I'm like, that's right. I love this church. I love all the churches, but when I see that, I just get really excited. And I'll tell you what I'm going to talk about today, what's in scripture today. Anytime God builds a community, his community of disciples and making more disciples, what happens in today's passage must happen. What happens in our passage today does happen. And if it doesn't happen, I'll tell you, you have a community, but it's not God's community made up of disciples. So today, I want to ask if you could really focus and really listen in. There's so much detail that God is saying in our passage today. You guys might have heard the story before, but I want to ask if you could really just dive into the passage. That's why we call it Dive, by the way. I just wanted them to dive into God. Right? And so I want to encourage you to do that. Right? So that being said, if we could just pray really quick and then get right into the scripture. God, we just want to thank you for your word. And your word is so good. Lord, your word is so good, and Lord, you're going to speak to us, and I just pray for fertile soil. For, Lord, if there's rocks, if there's hardened hearts, if there's thorns, God, I pray that you would do what you can only do today, and Lord, you would help us to have fertile soil, that they would not be wasted, they would not be in vain, that the word of God, that we would grow abundantly, that we would respond to the word, your word, you speaking to us today, Lord, in faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's get right into it. Genesis chapter 32, verse 22 to 32. I want to share with you the context of our passage. It comes to us in Genesis chapter 27, all the way back in 27. Abraham had Isaac, right? And then Isaac had two twins, Jacob and Esau. And in chronological order, it's actually Esau and Jacob. Esau was born first of the twins. And later we find out that Esau, the firstborn, he ended up selling, basically giving his eternal birthright, because he was born first, eternal birthright for a temporary bowl of soup to his brother, Jacob, right? So something eternal for something so, like, temporary, because he became hungry later that night, next day, definitely. He gave up something eternal for something so temporary. And there's so much to talk about in that alone, okay? But we're not gonna talk about that. We're gonna move on, because we have more to go. And then later we see Isaac, the father, very old, barely could see. And then Jacob again, the second of the twin, goes into in front of his father, deceives him, act like he's Esau to get the eternal, not just birthright, now the blessing, right, from Esau. Now, if you read this story of Jacob, Jacob was someone who fought very hard to make it in this world, right? He fought, he wasn't born with riches. He wasn't born with a birthright or blessings. He wasn't born with a natural gifts and talents, all this stuff. He needed to make it on his own. He scraped and clawed to make his life better. And when I read that, I'm thinking this is somewhat all of us, isn't it? I don't know any of us that just are given fame or given, you know, all these possessions. We have to scrape and claw to make it in this world. And especially COVID time, I meet so many people who don't have jobs and they have to compete and compete and compete. And when you get a job, you have to do well and do well and do well, right? You try so hard to make a name. You try so hard to make a better life for yourself and your family. That's what we see in Jacob. And there's a lot of, you know, deceiving going on, this and that, trying to manipulate things. But that's what the center of it is. He's trying so hard to get stuff for himself, to make a name for himself, to get a better life. But as you can imagine, his brother is furious. He's furious, right? My younger brother stole my birthright, and now he stole my blessing, the eternal. Both things are eternal. I have nothing. And scripture is very clear. Esau wanted to kill his brother. Not like two brothers that just goes, man, I want to kill you. It's not like that. He really wanted to kill his brother. So Jacob is scared. So what does he do? With the help of his father and mother, mostly his mother, right? Mostly his mother, take off to this place called Haran. His mother's brother lives there, Laban, and he goes there and hides out for 20 years serving his uncle Laban. 7 years he served to marry this woman named Leah, right? Who he was tricked into marrying. And then 7 years for a woman named Rachel, who he actually really wanted to be with. And then 6 more years, what turned out to be a huge portion of his uncle's flocks. Okay, so for 20 years, he now has two wives, 11 children. He has 12, one more later, but he has 11 children and a lot of property, a lot of flock. He's pretty rich, okay? So he's made a name for himself. He's done a lot of things, a little bit more deceiving stuff here and there, but he's made it well in this life. And after 20 years, it says, Jacob realized it's time now to go back and reconcile with his brother. Okay? After 20 years, he's a lot older, and he's going back to reconcile with his brother. Now, as they were traveling back, to Jacob's family and his own people, his own land, he sends his servants out to scout out like what's ahead, right? And so these scouts are scouting, and then they finally come back and they report to Jacob, hey, we saw your brother. And he heard that you're coming. And guess what? He is coming to you with 400 fighting soldiers. 400 fighting soldiers. So obviously Jacob is terrified, right? My brother has not gotten over it. I mean, I took something pretty important, two things that are important, and he's coming to annihilate me and my family. What good is a birthright? What good is a blessing if he just wipes us out? And that's where we take off in our passage today, right? Genesis chapter 32, verse 22 through 25, starts with Jacob being terrified. He is like just freaking out, like, what am I supposed to do? And so because he's so scared, that his brother's coming to annihilate him and his family, that he's going to lose everything. He sends his two wives, his two maidservants, his 11 children, all his flocks, all his servants across the ford of the Jabbok, and he sends them away so that when his brother comes and attacks him, or maybe kills him, that he's the only one that goes. He's trying to save them, right? And scripture says that when he is when he was alone, all of a sudden this man appears. And now, if you don't know, if you read in scripture, right before, you know, he sees these angels cross as he was traveling back. He sees these angels cross. And most likely, this man is an angel of God who represents God. Okay? And he comes and he starts to wrestle Jacob. And at first, Jacob is resisting, right? Who is this man? Like, is this God? Like, he's resisting. And because Jacob would not submit to this man, God, right? This man touches his hip, and his hip gets out of its socket, and Jacob just almost is falling. He has no leverage. He has no stability here. Basically, God is one. Now, let me tell you, I wrestled 1 year in my life at school, and I was undefeated. Right? It was 1 year, I know. I was undefeated. I was 1-0. Right? I was 1-0, and it was, I want to be clear, I don't know if they have junior highs these days, but I went to a junior high, 7th through 9th, okay, and I was a 7th grader. Obviously, the varsity guy was 9th grade, and I don't know, I can't remember why. I think maybe he did his weight thing and he went over or something. I don't know. Maybe he was sick. But for one match, he couldn't go. And so they came to me and said, "You got to go." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And so I wrestled and I pinned him in the second round. Right? And so after that, they never asked me to wrestle again. And I quit after 1 year because, you know, my friends just made too much fun of the uniforms. You guys know if you wrestle, that's not the best part of wrestling. It's just, and so I quit. Now, why do I talk about wrestling? It's this. I know when you wrestle, you take away their hip, right? You take away their hip, the power. You take away their power. You take away their leverage. You take away their stability. You take away everything. They're powerless if they don't have the power of their hips. So when God came and touched his hip socket, it was very clear that God was taking away his leverage, his stability. Everything that he took pride in, everything that was power to him, everything that he, you know, that he built in his life, it was a representation that God is taking away everything. You can't do anything now. Right? Clearly, God is one. But now, scripture goes on to say when God is one, and therefore no longer is Jacob resisting God, right? Trying to keep up everything that he's built in his life, everything he wants to do. It's scripture says he didn't let go of God, right? And God's like, "Let go of me. The day's coming, right? Let go of me." But he wouldn't let go. And he says, "I won't let you go until you bless me." Right? Until you bless me. So what happens? God says, "Okay, your name no longer will be Jacob, but it will be Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Now, let me talk a little bit here. The word striven is very important. Striven with God literally means you have went face to face with God. You opposed God. Okay? It doesn't mean you believed in God or anything like that. It means that you have went against me. You have fought against me. And then the word prevail doesn't actually mean won. You didn't beat me, right? Some people get confused about that word. The word prevailed actually means you have survived. You have been delivered. It means that you have went against God, and instead of being condemned and judged, right, and you're done with, God has, in his mercy, has delivered you from that, and he has saved you from that. That's what this means, right? And then our scripture ends with Jacob limping away. For the rest of his life, he was limping because his hip was out of its socket. That's our story here, right? And in our story, I believe God is sharing with us three very, very, very important points. And especially, again, in a place where you want God to build his community, making disciples and being disciples, I'm telling you, these three points are so critical. If these three points don't happen, I don't believe God's community, making disciples and building disciples, ever happens. It doesn't happen in your life, it doesn't happen in your life, and it doesn't happen in my life. And these three points are critical. And so I want to encourage you, really take in these three points. First point is this: God will always, always wrestle us to be the Lord of our lives. He will always wrestle us to be the Lord of our lives. Look carefully and you'll see it wasn't Jacob who started wrestling this man. He was all alone and a man came and all of a sudden started wrestling him out of the blue. He's like, what in the world? Right? God came and started wrestling Jacob. Why? Because he wanted to be the Lord of his life. And as God was wrestling him, Jacob started wrestling God, and he wrestled with God in two different ways. Two different ways. Before God touched his hip socket, right? Before God touched his hip socket, Jacob was wrestling God in this way. He was resisting God, right? God came and said, let me be the Lord of your life. And he said, no. Like, I believe in you, I need you, but he was resisting God. But after God touched his hip socket, took away his leverage, took away his stability, took away his power, took away all that he depended on, right? Instead of resisting God, now Jacob is wrestling with God a little different. Actually, very differently. He was holding on to God as much as he could with all of his life, saying, I will not let you go. I have nothing. I can't let you go until you bless my life, until you bless me. Church, Jacob's whole life, he was trying so hard to make it in this world. He had his own plans. He had his own dreams, and he did whatever it took, really, whatever it took to get them. And here God came and said, I need to be the Lord of your life. And he's not talking about a savior right here. He's not saying, I need to save you from trouble because you're in trouble. And he was in trouble. He's not coming and saying, you know, like a superhero, like we all assume Jesus is, like, Jesus, I'm in trouble. Please help me. Please help me. He's not coming and saying, hey, what do you need? I'll help you. No, he came and started wrestling and saying, Jacob, even in your trouble, I want to be the Lord in your life. Will you allow me to be the Lord in your life? If I must, I'm going to wrestle you for it. Church, God wants to be the Lord of your life. God needs to be the Lord of your life. And he knows he's going to have to wrestle you for it. Church, is God wrestling you in your life? The second point that I see here is this: in God's love and mercy, and I want to make sure you hear that, this is his love and mercy, okay? In God's love and mercy, he is going to take away your leverage. He's going to take away your stability. He's going to take away your power. He's going to take away your fame. He's going to take away your name. He's going to take away whatever you have built, right? Do you know, at the heart of sin, at the heart of sin, in anybody's life throughout history, from Adam and Eve to the last person, at the heart of sin is mankind. It's us living based on our own authority instead of God's. If you want to sum up sin, that's how you sum it up. It's not right or wrong. Okay, that's, to me, whenever we, you know, people say, but that's okay, that's not wrong. I don't think they're understanding that the heart of sin, it's not right and wrong. It's that we don't live on God's authority, but we rather live on our own authority. That's what sin was from the beginning in Adam and Eve. Remember in the garden with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? God said, don't eat. You could eat from any tree, but don't eat from that tree. That fruit, don't eat it. And if people are confused, there was nothing wrong with the tree. There was no poison in it. There was no, like, if you eat it, sin. Now you ate sin. It's not that at all. It was God made. It was a good tree. I'm sure it tasted so good, right? Not the tree, but the fruit. I keep saying that, right? But God said, don't eat of that tree. Don't eat that fruit. And in today's world, it's so much about why. It's good. It's not bad. Church, you have to realize, when people talk and argue today, I hear so much about, you know what? I think that's right. There's nothing wrong with that. So why does God not want us to do that? It's not about right and wrong, what you see as evil and what you see as good. It's about what God is saying, God's authority, and us submitting to God's authority. And when we don't, guess what it is? That's sin. That's the beginning of sinful life in our life. That's look at every single time in Scripture when you see sin, and you'll see right smack, that's what it is. Satan came and goes, is it wrong to eat fruit? How is it wrong to eat fruit when you're hungry? How is it wrong to eat when you're hungry? That's not wrong. I don't think so. And watch what Satan says. He doesn't say, you do what I want you to do. That's not Satan's ploy. He says this, you do what you want to do. You do what you think is right. Do you see sin right there? That's not God's authority. That's your own authority. Our flesh, church, when God takes away our leverage, takes away our stability, and God might be doing that in some of your lives today. And God, church, God might have been doing that during COVID. Our flesh might call God taking away our stability, our leverage, our power, our name, what we depend on, as God hurting us, as God ruining our lives, as God not loving us, right? Jacob could have easily thought, so why are you like handicapping me forever? Why are you doing this? But God's spirit in us, right? God's spirit in us will call God touching our hip socket, taking away our leverage, our stability, as God's mercy, as God's love for us, church. Why? It's this. God knows that unless our leverage, our stability in ourselves and in this world is taken away, we will never, never allow Jesus to be the ruler of our lives. We just depend on these things. And I mean, I don't know how many of you guys are old enough where you remember 9/11. You know, people were flocking to the church. I mean, that sounded good, but so many people were saying, God, I lost my job. Can you bring it back? God, I lost all my savings. Can you bring it back? God, I lost this. Can you bring it back? And what we're saying is, God, when you take away our leverage and you're saying this world, this nation, me, we've stopped having you as our Lord and we've depended on ourselves. When God takes away everything in our life, we just want those things back. We want God to be the Savior. But no, I have a difficult time, God, you being my Lord. And church, I want you to understand, God, to be the Lord of your life, He is going to take away your stability, your leverage. I don't know how. I don't know in what way. But that's what I see here in Scripture. It's not God giving what our, it's God giving what our spirit needs and not what our flesh desires. And then lastly, a last point that God is talking about, for those who cling on to Christ and instead of resisting Christ, they will inherit God's blessing of his salvation. Genesis 32, 28 through 30 says this, then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven, opposed God and with men and have prevailed. Many people think that the name Israel means chosen. So that the Israelites means chosen people. They are the chosen people, but the word Israel doesn't mean chosen at all. It actually means delivered, right? Like we talked about, prevailed. You have prevailed. Right? Even Jacob says, I have opposed God. I went face to face with God and he has delivered me. Right? That's what it means. So the Israelites, Israel actually means saved. It means saved people. Right? We are Israel if Christ is in us and we have given our lives to God. Right? Now, in our passage today, you see God only blesses him when Jacob stops resisting God, instead, he starts to seek God. Right? Do you see that? It's not he saves him, and then he becomes the Lord. What happens is God comes, instead of saving him first, he fights, wrestles with Jacob to become the Lord of his life. And then he becomes Israel. Do you realize that? Church, God needs to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Even when we say it, we say Lord always first, right? We say Lord and Savior. We don't say Savior and Lord a lot of times. We say Lord and Savior. It comes first. We need to give our lives to God and trust Him. Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. And he's talking about salvation here. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and then he forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul if he loses it? He would give everything, right? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Are you resisting God or are you clinging on to God? Some will be Israel, delivered, saved, and some will die resisting him. Friends, really 3 points is God wrestling with you to be the Lord of your life, right? God seeks to be the Lord in your life every day, every circumstances, every situation, every difficulty. He wants to be the Lord of your life and he'll wrestle you for it. Church, second point is God taking away your leverage. Sometimes it seems like terrible things happen to us. Could it be not because of evil? Could it be God taking away your leverage? God knows that unless our leverage and our stability in ourselves, in this world, is taken away, we're going to have a hard time having Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And then lastly, are you doing everything you can to cling on to Christ? Are you doing everything you can to go to Christ, to be a part of his life? Yeah, I always say, being a Christian doesn't mean you have God on your side and he shifts to come into your life and help you with all the stuff of your life. It's not God shifting to you. It's us learning how to deny ourselves and shifting our lives to God. We need to go to God. Jacob, he was fighting because he didn't want to shift, but we need to shift our lives to him. And I'll close with this. You know, Jacob walked with a limp the rest of his life. The rest of his life, he walked. I don't know how much of a limp it was. He walked with a limp the rest of his life. And to some, that might be a reason to resent God, right? But for Jacob, I'm sure of it. It was a reminder. His limp was a reminder of God's mercy and love. It was a reminder that God needed to be the Lord of his life. And church, if you don't know, everyone who's given their lives to God, we also have a reminder in us. That's the blood of Jesus. Jesus gave up his entire life so that we would be moved from condemned to Israel, to redeemed, to saved. Jesus forever, still today, forever has the scars on his wrists and his feet and his side. Why? Because that is the testimony of him delivering us from condemned to saved. I hope as we live our lives, we constantly look to that. And not fight him anymore. But do what it takes to cling on to him now. Let him be the Lord of your life. Let's pray. So God, we lift up this time. Because God, in this world, it's so easy to be tempted that we need to make a name for ourselves. We need to do whatever it takes. We need to get into this college. We need to get these jobs. And Lord, as we work, we need to get promotions. And Lord, we might be doing things that simply are not based on your authority in our lives. So God, we pray. I pray for my brothers and sisters, my friends. You're going to come and wrestle us, God. And Lord, you're going to do something about our stability. And you're going to remind us that we need you more than we know, more than we believe. So God, I pray for everybody here today that we will look back to the cross, that we'll look back to the scars forever on Jesus' body, and they will be reminded that Jesus needs to be our Lord. The Lord of my life. Can we just take a moment to just respond? Is God wrestling you? Is God dealing with your stability, your leverage? And how are you responding? Can we just take a moment to respond?
Test. Sorry about the technical difficulties. Thank you so much for joining online. We are so glad to be able to worship with you. The best way to get plugged into our church, the next step is actually to join a bridge group, which meets every other week. For details, you can visit our website. They meet in person and online. And so whatever you're comfortable with, we would love to meet with you. And you can meet with newcomers as well and to get to know our church. Secondly, if you do live in the state of Washington, we have a cleanup that happens next week on Saturday at the Monroe base. It's a great way to get to know other people and to serve our community. We're going to be cleaning up the YWAM Monroe base, which is a missions organization. And finally, most importantly, please consider taking New Life 101, which is our membership class. Now, once you take that class, it doesn't mean that you have to be a member, but it's a way that you can get to know the church better. We're going to talk about the theology, philosophy, as well as the mission and vision of our church. Pastor Eric will be teaching that class. If you don't live in Washington and can't make it physically, we do have an online option. If you have kids, we have childcare. We're offering this class 6 times in August and through September because we just really want everyone to take this class. And with that, you know, I'm going to invite Pastor Derek up just to give the benediction and to really, you know, encourage us as we leave these doors.
Hello again. You know, before I give the benediction, I just want to encourage you. In this world, it is hard to live based on God's authority. To have Jesus be the Lord of your life. But today I want to encourage you to endure, persevere, and overcome in those things, in that mission for your life. You know, and I'm sure, you know, the class 101 class is going to help you do that. And I want to encourage you to get more involved in the church and to be the church. Let's pray together. God, we just come and lift up this time. Lord, as we heard from your word, Lord, help us to respond to you in faithfulness. God, I pray that you would be working in our hearts. Lord, I know that there might be things that are hard to give up, that are prideful, that are very thick walls that, God, you need to wrestle down. But Lord, I pray that we would understand that that's your love and mercy. That Lord, you are coming in love and mercy. That the greatest thing we can do as you as our creator, as we as your people, is Lord, we can go back to having you being our authority. Lord, you being our Lord and us being your sons and daughters of God. So Lord, I pray for this for everybody who is listening. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and the guidance of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore, as God's people said, amen. God bless you.